If you go home after church tonight and you watch a little bit of TV before you go to bed, you might see some commercials on TV, and they all sound really good. Greatest weight loss program, greatest way to help your memory, all kinds of things. Well, if you're like me, you watch that commercial and you say, well, is that really true? What they say, is that really something that's actually true? Well, you and I have a hard time figuring that out. We don't know what the truth is. We're not all knowing in everything. And we also know that there are people who will twist the words a little bit to sell their product and maybe try and do that, deceive us a little bit. Well, Pontius Pilate, he was wondering the same thing. Jesus is standing in front of him, and he's heard what the Jewish leaders have said, and then he hears what Jesus says, and I picture Pilate throwing up his hands in the air and saying, "What is truth?" He didn't know. Well, as we study this, we're going to learn two things about what was going on in this Bible story with Jesus. We know one truth is that Jesus isn't the kind of king that people wanted him to be, which was an earthly king. But the second truth is that Jesus is, thank God, the person that he claimed to be, which is our king and our savior. What is truth? Three words of truth. We know what Jesus is or who he is, and what he has done to save us. In the name of our God, to whom all hearts are open, and from whom no secrets are hidden. Amen. O Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy, and in your faithfulness come to my relief. Do not bring your servant into judgment, for no one living is righteous before you. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a troubled and repentant sinner, confess that I have sinned against you in my thoughts, my words, and my actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should. I am distressed by the sins that trouble me and am deeply sorry for them. Jesus says to his people, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. His death paid for the guilt of your sins and the sins of the whole world. Do you believe this? Yes, I believe. Because of the promise of our Savior Jesus, I forgive you all your sins. Be assured that you are a dear child of God and an heir of eternal life. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for this day of grace. Stay with us and warm our hearts with your forgiving love in Christ. May your word keep our faith burning brightly, that we walk in the light of your presence through the darkness of this world. Come and bless us as we worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue with the reading of the Passion history. Last week's lesson ended when Jesus was sentenced to die and be executed on the cross. This particular lesson is about what happens at the cross. Two other men who were criminals were led away with Jesus to be executed. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall, but when he tasted it, he would not drink it. They crucified him there with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Now it was the third hour when they crucified him. Pilate also had a notice written and fastened on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this notice because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but that this man said, 'I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four parts, one for each soldier. They also took his tunic, which was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let's not tear it. Instead, let's cast lots to see who gets it." This was so that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, "They divided my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing." So the soldiers did these things. Then they sat down and were keeping watch over Jesus there. People who passed by kept insulting Jesus, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." Those who were crucified with him also insulted him. In the same way, the chief priests, experts in the law, and the Jewish elders kept mocking him. They said, "He saved others, but he cannot save himself. If he is the King of Israel, let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him, because he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" One of the criminals hanging there was blaspheming Jesus, saying, "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God, since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for what we have done. But this man, Jesus, has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus said to him, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus' mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene were standing near the cross. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that time, this disciple took Mary into his own home. It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun was darkened. At the ninth hour, Jesus shouted with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." After this, knowing that everything had now been finished, and to fulfill the scriptures, Jesus said, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine was sitting there. Immediately one of them ran, took a sponge, and soaked it with the sour wine. Then he put it on a stick and gave him a drink. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." Jesus cried out with a loud voice and said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he bowed his head and gave up his life. Suddenly, the temple curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. Tombs were opened, and many bodies of believers who had fallen asleep were raised to life. Those who came out of the tombs went into the holy city after Jesus' resurrection and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those who were guarding Jesus with him saw the earthquake and how he cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last, they were terrified and began to glorify God, saying, "This man really was righteous. Truly, this was the Son of God." When all the groups of people who had gathered to see this spectacle saw what had happened, they returned home beating their chests. All those who knew Jesus and many women who had followed Jesus from Galilee and who had served him were there, watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, Salome, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. Since it was the day of preparation, the Jews did not want the bodies left on the crosses over the Sabbath. They asked Pilate to have the men's legs broken and the bodies taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first man who was crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other man. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear. Immediately, blood and water came out. The one who saw it has testified, and his testimony is true. He knows that he is telling the truth, so that you also may believe. Indeed, these things happened so that the scriptures would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And again, another scripture says, they will look at the one they pierced. That is our reading of the Passion history. We'll respond with that seasonal sentence together. All we, like sheep, have gone astray, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. By his wounds we are healed. The Son of Man, Jesus, did not come here to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. God's word for our study are verses from John chapter 18, verses 33 to 40. Pilate went back into the praetorium and summoned Jesus. He asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Are you saying this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own people and chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus replied, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." "You are a king then?" Pilate asked. Jesus answered, "I am, as you say, a king. For this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." "What is truth?" Pilate said to him. After Jesus said this, he went out again to the Jews and told them, "I find no basis for a charge against him. But you have a custom that I release one prisoner to you at the Passover. So do you want me to release the king of the Jews for you?" Then they shouted back, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Dear fellow worshipers, there are a lot of instances in our lives where we want to know what the truth is. Maybe you're at home, maybe your kids are there, your grandkids, and something happens and you're trying to figure out what the truth is, what really went on. How did this thing get broken, let's say? Maybe it's something else you want to find the truth out about. Maybe you're not feeling well and you go to the doctor and they're trying to figure out what's wrong with you and you just like to know, even though it's going to take more testing. I just want to know what the truth is so I can get some medicine and fix it. Can you imagine a police officer investigating an accident scene, trying to figure out whose fault this was, that an accident happened? Pontius Pilate, he wanted to know the truth too. He heard what the Jews said about Jesus and how he was causing trouble and the claims about Jesus being a king. But Pilate also knew that it was out of envy or jealousy that we heard in a reading of our Passion history. That's why the Jews had brought Jesus before him. They were jealous of him. That's why they wanted Jesus to be killed. Well, what is the truth? We're going to spend a few minutes studying this Bible reading, and we'll be reminded that Jesus tells us what the truth is. He wasn't the kind of king that people like the Jews wanted him to be, but thank God he is the king that he claims to be by coming here to be our Savior from sin. When you think about Jesus' trial, it happened right after he was arrested out in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's nighttime. It's not legal to have a court trial at night because then things could be hidden. This was supposed to be during the daytime. And then you think about the charges that the Jewish leaders brought against Jesus, and it wasn't for things that Jesus did. It was for things that he said. For example, in John chapter 2, you heard it again in the reading of the Passion history, where Jesus cleanses the temple. They've turned it into a place of business. Jesus drives out all the animals that they're selling and all the people, overturns the tables. And then the Jews ask him, "Well, what authority do you have to do this, to drive everybody out?" And Jesus says in John 2:19, "Destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days." Well, the Jews twisted that around. They thought Jesus was going to destroy the physical temple that took 46 years to build and then rebuild it in 3 days. But Jesus wasn't talking about that. He was talking about his resurrection. Later in John chapter 8, Jesus is trying to show them that he really is the Son of God. And Jesus said this to them, "Before Abraham was born, I am," meaning that he's eternal. And you know what the Pharisees did then? They didn't just twist his words. They picked up rocks. They were going to stone Jesus to death because they thought this was blasphemy. Jesus, you're just a man and you're claiming to be or to do something that only God can do. The Pharisees didn't believe in Jesus and didn't want to understand that he really was a king and someone that God had sent into the world. Well, now the Jews come to Pilate and they're making their case against Jesus. Again, it's just things that Jesus had said, nothing that he did. But when the Jews came to Pilate, they didn't say Jesus isn't being truthful, which was their claim at first. Instead, they said something that would catch Pilate's interest. They said he's claiming to be a king. And that might have made Pilate nervous because he's the governor in Jerusalem and he has to keep everything under control for the Roman government. Pilate would be a little bit worried about a man like this who claims to be a king. And so now Pilate is checking this out with Jesus and talking to him. He knows what the Jews have said. What does Pilate see when Jesus is standing in front of him? They see someone who's defeated. Jesus is bound up. His hands are probably tied up. He's been roughed up by the Roman soldiers. He doesn't have an army outside the gate ready to come in and rescue him if things get difficult. All of Jesus' followers, his disciples, they've all run away and they're hiding somewhere in that locked room perhaps already. Jesus didn't look like a king. And so Pilate is confused. The Jews are saying this, Jesus doesn't look like a king, but now Jesus comes and says, and Pilate's questioning that you heard, "Now, what do you say about this, Jesus?" And he says, "Yeah, I'm a king. For this reason I was born, for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth," which is God's word. "Everyone on my side listens to the truth." And that's when Pilate says, "What is truth?" I don't know if he really wanted to know or if he was just confused. Again, Pilate knows that it's out of envy that the Jews want him dead. You also heard about Pilate's wife. She has this dream that they shouldn't have anything to do with Jesus because he's an innocent man. She sends a note to Pilate saying that, don't have anything to do with them. Well, Pilate asked all the questions, but in the end, Pilate feared that there could be a revolt if he didn't crucify Jesus. He had one more last-ditch attempt to get Jesus freed, and that was with the prisoner exchange. At the Passover, the governor would let people have one prisoner released, and he thought for sure, well, at least the way it's written, he probably figured that Jesus was going to be released because Barabbas is a known murderer. But then they asked for Barabbas to be released instead of Jesus. And so Pilate did what was good for Pilate, and he sentenced Jesus to die on the cross. For Pilate, it would have been a whole lot easier if Jesus had committed a crime. Then it would have been easy to condemn him, and he would have felt better about it. He tries washing his hands in front of the crowd, to say that he's got no part in this, and yet he did. Jesus wasn't what Pilate expected, and it was the same for the Jews. Jesus is the Messiah. That was the term used in the Old Testament. The Old Testament Jewish people, they knew all about those prophecies that God had made. But their idea about the Messiah was a whole lot different than what Jesus did when he came. The Jews were thinking back to the time when David was king and the Israelites were a great nation and they could have all this power and they were the most powerful people around. They were being well taken care of and God was on their side. And that's really what people were hoping for at Jesus' time. A Messiah to make them a great nation again, have power over them and control over them and take care of them and provide for them, make their life easy. And when Jesus didn't do any of those things, then they rejected him. And they hated Jesus so much that they really, truly wanted him dead. People are the same today. They want Jesus to be something else. A lot of people these days aren't so interested in spiritual things. They're more interested in how things are going in their lives here on earth. Maybe they think about Jesus and want him to be the one that just takes care of their physical needs or provides for them or takes away their pain or their trouble or their sorrow. Sometimes we think the same way. Wouldn't it be nice if Jesus did this for me or did that for me? And apart from spiritual things, maybe help with our physical life sounds pretty inviting. But Jesus isn't the kind of king that we want him to be. He came to do something else. He came to do something better for us. He came to be our Savior from sin. The Bible teaches us in very clear terms who Jesus is and why he came here. In the hymn that we sang just before the sermon, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That's what he told the disciples in John chapter 14. When Jesus is getting ready to leave and he tells them about the place that he's preparing for them in heaven, in order to comfort them, he says, I'm the way to heaven. I'm the truth. You can believe the things that I say. I am the life. I can give you eternal life. That's why Jesus came as king. Not to help people so much with their physical lives, but to help them with their spiritual life. We know truths about that. We know the truths about sin. The Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. We know the truth about what we deserve for sin. Paul says in Romans 6, the wages of sin is death, physical death and eternal death. We know what God tells us about who we are and what we need. Jesus is the truth, the only Savior, the only way, truth, and life. And once we know Jesus, then we know some other truths about him. We know what he's done for us. We know why he was being humble in front of Pontius Pilate, why he wasn't using his divine power. We know why Jesus allowed all the different things to happen to him, the betrayal, the arrest, the court trial, all the physical abuse that he took, the whipping, the mocking. You heard it in the reading of the Passion History tonight, how they mocked him hanging on the cross. He saved others. He can't save himself. Jesus endured all of that because he wanted to pay for our sins. We need Jesus to do that for us. The kind of Savior that you and I need is the one that takes away sin, takes away the consequences of sin, and assures us of the eternal life that God has for us. What is the truth that Pilate said? The truth is that Jesus promises he'll take care of our earthly needs, but that's not really what we need. We need a Savior from sin, someone who can remove our sins and forget them, someone who can take away those consequences, assure us of our eternal life, and then get us safely home to heaven. What is the truth? Jesus wasn't the kind of Savior people wanted him to be, but thank God he is the Savior that he claimed to be, and he's the King of our hearts and the King of our lives, and someday soon we'll see him when we get home to heaven. There's two main teachings in the Bible, the law and the gospel. The law shows our sin, the gospel shows our Savior. Which news do you think people like to hear? Do people like to hear the bad news? Nobody likes that. But that's what the law does, doesn't it? It tells us the bad news. Not only are we sinners, but there isn't a single thing that we can do to save ourselves. Nobody wants to hear that, how bad they are or what they deserve. So why do you and I focus in on that so much? We do that every Sunday or every time we have a church service or I have a devotion or a sermon that's always in there. Why do we need to hear the bad news? Bad news hurts, doesn't it? We need to be reminded, as often as we've heard it, God wants to humble us with our sins. He wants us to realize that there isn't a single thing that we can do to save ourselves. Sometimes our old Adam kicks in and thinks, well, maybe I can do a few good things, or maybe God looks better at me than he does at somebody else because I'm better than another person. God's law is very clear. The truth hurts. We're all sinners. We all deserve the same thing. It humbles us, and we need that. Because when we're humbled, we realize just how valuable Jesus is in our lives and how thankful we can be that he came to do what he did, to be the Savior that God the Father wanted him to be. And we have him, and we believe in him by faith. He's ruling in our hearts right now through that faith, guiding our lives, taking care of our earthly needs for sure, but guiding our lives of faith, and slowly but surely leading us to our home in heaven. What is truth? I don't know if Pilate ever figured that out. We don't hear anything about him after Jesus is crucified. But he certainly knew that Jesus was someone different. Thank the Lord that we know what the truth is. We know who we are. We know who Jesus is. And that he is here as our King and Savior. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We'll continue with our prayers. Dear Jesus, though people reviled you and persecuted you, though they accused you of blasphemy and of deceiving the people, though they laughed at your claims of being the Savior, the Messiah, and the eternal Son of God, we rejoice to know and to trust you as our Lord, who has brought us the gift of salvation. There is no one else upon whom we can rely. Your words inviting our hearts to faith are indeed words of eternal life. Dear Jesus, how can we express all the praise that you deserve for taking our human form here, setting aside the full use of your power and glory, and being willing to die on the cross to pay for our sins. Dear Jesus, because of the victory that you have won for us over sin and death and the devil, we now ask you to rule over us with your grace. Continue to forgive all of our sins and fill us with every spiritual blessing. We ask that we may be devoted to you in our hearts and lives as you were devoted to the will of your Heavenly Father. Help us to live in a way that always shows the faith that we have in you. As we live in this sinful world, don't let us be overly concerned with the responsibilities of this life or to fall into one of Satan's temptations. Rather, grant us a willingness to live for you here, and if need be, to suffer for you here, as you so willingly suffered on your cross for us. May the salvation that you purchased for us sinners move us to songs of thankfulness and praise. Help us to live a life that rejoices in you and shows the wonderful confidence that we have in you. Give us a childlike faith that just takes you at your word and trusts in the things that you do for us. Be near us to bless us as our individual needs require. We continue to trust in you, confess our sins to you, and rely on you to forgive us. Dear Jesus, thank you for being here to take away our sins and being the King that you came to be, King of our hearts here and King of our lives forever in heaven. We pray this in Jesus' name as we join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please join me in Luther's evening prayer. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day. Forgive me all my sins, and graciously keep me this night. Into your hands I commend my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.